Well, good morning, everybody. So, I'm Melanie from Free Domain. It's time for our social media review. And this, I can't believe. I mean, what a absolutely glorious and genius waste of time. I had no idea why these people were showing up on my feed until, okay, we've just got to start this again.
Let me see. Season Jiggle, I'm on my
Yeah, that's just absolutely astounding and astonishing. I don't hugely love the song. It is, I mean, the whole band is completely satanic, but that is something else. I guess the real challenge is, can you get the song just from looking at the names? But it's amazing. It's also amazing how the brain, when you read something, the brain will translate it into what you're hearing. And that's really something as well. So I just thought that was just glorious. Now, for those of you who don't know, not that you would particularly care, but I'm a pretty huge fan of escalating humor. To me, there is no part of humor, if it works, that can go too far. So here we go.
Más cuatro.
This is your Uno game. I'm not sure why he's got earflaps. That's excellent. You can't go too far. Can you go too far? You cannot go too far. Oh my gosh. See, now that's something. It is, I call it the hand cramp. You know, when you're playing a game where you're supposed to discard your cards, you end up with too many cards and your hand starts cramping. It's painful. Or the bleated cry from the paterfamilias of the environment. Wait, I'm still organizing my cards. That is something else. A cheat is a great game if you haven't played that with just regular cards, but you know, it's fun too. This arouses within me pure Viking memories. This is where you would pound mead with your burly bearded buddies before going out to disassemble the planet and rearrange it in various ways. I actually feel a deep yearning for if. And of course, naturally, I sent this to my wife, saying Merry Christmas to me. I'm fingers crossed, but not very much crossed. I don't know that it would fit with our general decor, because if you're married and your wife has great taste, and of course, how could you complain about her taste? If you're married, she's married to you, right? So you get a little bit on the female side of the decor. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But this would... this would butch up things quite a bit. I mean, yesterday I just picked up my car from the shop, and the guy had to lead me through the tool and repair area in order to, because it was parked out back or whatever, right? And I was just like, oh man, I feel more manly. My chest hair is growing just coming back through all these tools. It's so manly. And then I let out a rather girly shriek when I noticed a couple of laptops with a massive amounts of dust all over them. Like, oh no, that's terrible. So, I think I may have just estrogened this up a little bit, but doesn't that, oh, look at that. Pound mead. Make ship. Go overseas. Bring back mead. Anyway, there you go. There's your Christmas. Okay, from the slightly less enjoyable part here. Yeah. Violence works. Violence works at the expense of trust. Violence works at the expense of trust. No? Smack. Violence works at the expense of trust. Look at that face. That's the bond being broken. All right. Gen A McDonald's Playgrounds.
The Gen Alpha McDonald's Playground.
That is the saddest little thing. I like those death-defying. If I could go back in time with my daughter,
the McDonald's playground,
those 1920s playgrounds that are basically circus death camps in the sky. But This is really sad. And this the is Gen Alpha
McDonald's playground.
Women are a little bit more risk averse.
iPads for the little Gen Alpha babies.
Except when it comes to dating, McDonald's playground now, guys. They have no amygdala whatsoever.
This is so freaking sad.
Playgrounds for men are like, well, it has to be exciting enough.
The Gen Alpha McDonald's playground.
It has to be exciting enough that kids will want to go there and play, because that way they get strong, they exercise, and they learn how to manage their own risk, right? All the at-home kids who are just learning to manage risk by playing video games, well, they're not learning how to manage risk at all, because there are no particular risks in video games. You need to learn how to manage physical risk in order to have a safe life. And this stay home, it's a lot of moms, some men, some fathers too, but a little bit more moms just sort of managing their own anxiety by having their kids inside and at home. Well, I know where they are. I don't have to worry. It's like, well, life is not about you worrying. Life is learning how to manage risk, which is why you're getting all of these people. It's very convenient for the powers that be, of course, that you have all of these people in the world who have no idea how to manage risk. It's kind of interesting to me, and it would be interesting to see, if there's a correlation between people who understand Bitcoin and people who got to play outside, right? Because Bitcoin is a way of managing risk. And to me, the analogy is that staying inside to manage your risk is like trusting fiat currency as a store of value. Well, it's familiar, seems kind of safe, it's what I'm used to, but it actually is extremely, extremely dangerous. So, yeah, this is very sad. All right. Boyfriend says he will make me split bills if he's making 300K and I'm making 50K. Right now, my boyfriend of 10 years. Oh, God, that's just so sad. Boyfriend of 10 years. Oh, wretch. Wretch. A boyfriend is a job applicant for marriage. So as a hiring guy, right, I've interviewed like 1,000 people, hired like 100 people over the course of my career. And I would say I only had to fire a couple of those people. So I had like a 95, 97% success rate. I'm pretty good. I was pretty good at that stuff. But the way that it works is, or the way it's supposed to work is, a date is a job application and dating is your trial period. So the way that it worked, the way that it works in a lot of companies, or at least it used to, is that you would be on probation, right? So for the first 3 months, when I hired people back in the day, for the first 3 months, we kind of had an agreement that if they didn't like the job, they could leave. And if we didn't like them for whatever reason, then we could fire them. Now, after that, then things got more formal and so on. So there was this kind of it's called being on probation. You get this in universities too, academic probation and so on. So dating is a job interview. A date is a job interview. Dating is being on probation. So this idea that you'd be like, well, right now, I've been working for this company for 10 years. I'm still on probation. They haven't committed to hiring me permanently. Oh, that's sad. I mean, where's your pride, for God's sakes? All right. Right now, my boyfriend of 10 years makes 115K. I make 47K, and bills are split evenly, except for a 37 discount per week in exchange for one extra hour of house cleaning on my part. Oh, my God. Oh, that's so horrifying. Oh, all successful relationships, you throw everything. I mean, all successful relationships, you throw everything into it and see what comes back. And generosity is incredibly liberating. You just have to make sure that you keep an eye on reciprocity. That's all it comes down to. So one girlfriend I had many years ago had a passion project, and I funded it. And then, you know, I said, oh, okay, now we've done your passion project, which I funded, because it's what you wanted to do for her life. I'm like, oh, maybe you could read through one of my novels and help me out. And she just kept hedging and right. And I said, well, why, you know, I did your passion project. Why aren't you helping me out with my novel? She's like, well, you're just not motivating me to. And I'm like, okay, well, so then that was it, right? Generosity is liberation. So I'm a big fan of, you know, offer to pay and be generous and be accommodating and be helpful. And then the moment I found a woman who reciprocated that, boom, married, baby, 22 years next month. So it's perfect. So this idea that I'm going to give 1%, see if you give 1% more, this hedging stuff. Nope, no. Be generous, in my humble opinion, be generous. And it's an investment in security. Because if you're generous and then somebody else is stingy back, you can move on and you don't have to get dragged through family court. So, all right. So she says, I thought about it and feel like it would be better for things to be more proportional so we could live a similar lifestyle. That's a great way of saying, I want to get paid more for having sex. Women have so many different words for this. I've been going to food banks to afford rent in Seattle, where he insists on living because it gives him access to a high-paying job, tech job, and his family and friends are close by. I have no friends. My family lives states away. My monthly rent is $1,600 after the $150 a month discount in exchange for cleaning. What? Oh, $150. Yeah, okay, sorry, that's right. Which is financially irresponsible given my income level. We split the test. The test of the utilities? Right down the middle. We are already living a different lifestyle. He spends hundreds of dollars on gym memberships, membership each month, for instance, which isn't in my budget. So, yes, men make more money. Why? Why do men make more money? Because men fund families. Men pay for families. Why does a man give his wife and his children the vast majority of his income? Because in return, he gets a family. Someone's got to pay excess because kids aren't economically productive. Childbearing women, breastfeeding women, toddler raising children are not economically productive. So somebody, and this is the privilege of men, right? Everybody says, oh, well, men have all this privilege. It's like, why did women not have bank accounts in the past? Well, because women were busy having and raising children and, you know, doing the old continuation of culture that makes life worthwhile. And also because women could not be held legally liable or accountable for paying the bills of a family. Only a man could. And this is privilege, right? This is privilege, boys. This is privilege. You get to go to war and 90% of your income goes to your wife and kids who don't have to be out there battling others in the workplace to earn the filthy lucre required to continue the species. That's your privilege, boys. A workhorse and a soldier privilege. So, yeah, it's just really sad. So this woman wants her boyfriend. She wants her boyfriend's money, but isn't producing children. Well, that's a hack. That's just pillaging something that nature set up in terms of man's productivity and dedication to labor. She wants the money, but she doesn't want to give him the children. Or have the children with him. Well, I mean, that's just pathetic on both of their parts, right? If this guy's making good money, go make some babies. If this woman wants half or more of his income, she can get 90% of his income, but she's going to have kids. Instead, you know, boyfriend of 10 years, so I assume they're in their 30s, right? So after 15 years in the workplace, she's making $47,000, and she would rather do that than have some beautiful babies and raise them. Oh, it's just so sad. Yes. When it comes to risk, this is what I mean by risk, right? 80% of all dollars in the U.S. were created in the last 5 years. Look at that line. If people can't process that risk, it meant that they were forced to play indoors. They never learned how to assess risk out there in the real world, which can be dangerous. But there is no elimination of danger. If you eliminate danger in the moment, you increase danger later on for kids, right? Now, of course, you want a bell curve of danger. You don't want too little. You don't want too much. But children have to be able to learn how to manage risk. And also injury to others, right? This is partly what play fighting is all about, is learning how to manage your aggression. You know, like when my friend's sons come in for the the play fight, I'm like, great, let's do it, right? And then you have to learn how to be aggressive. This is part of what sports are about, too. This is why you are very aggressive and then shake hands afterwards. That's a preparation for mercy in war, which you hope is going to be reciprocal. But you go in hard with your play fighting, and then every now and then someone gets injured, someone cries, and you're like, oh, went too far, didn't manage my aggression. So the women are all like, oh, this play fighting is so loud. And it's like, okay, do you really want men to grow up, boys to grow up into men with no idea how to handle their own aggression? That's not good for society. So safety now is danger later. Danger later is safety now. And I'm trying to think. So most of the people I knew who ended up getting into Austrian economics, which is the gateway drug or the yellow brick road to Bitcoin, yellow to orange transition. They grew up in the wilds. They grew up in anarchy. They grew up having to make up their own games, roaming the neighborhood. So apparently this is not risky, but boy, Bitcoin is, right? So this is the number of dollars printed. And recently, this has been Bitcoin's price, right? This sort of graph. So, all right. So this woman, Mary Tally Bowden, she's a doctor. She says, I spoke to Dr. John Little today, and we're both seeing a large number of patients who need but refuse conventional medical treatment because they've lost all trust in medicine. Without transparency plus accountability, we have no hope of restoring trust. And I feel for the doctors, right? I mean, these licensing boards for doctors, which were never demanded by patients or the population as a whole. It was just a kind of state-run scam to limit entrance into the workplace for doctors. So yeah, if you didn't follow the particular recommendations, you got in trouble. Now you can't apologize or you might get in trouble. So it's a horrible line or thread that people have to tread in this kind of stuff. There may be some transparency. Obviously the Pfizer docs were out, and Naomi Wolf and her team of magic data elves is pulling the pieces apart for that in very heroic and productive ways. But accountability? No, it's not. It's not going to happen. All right. Notorious Bitcoin hater. Nuriel Rubini is visibly annoyed with Bitcoin price over 100K. When asked whether he's rethought his position on Bitcoin, right, so what does he say? It's interesting for me.
You've had a big move in Bitcoin over the last month or so. Had a big move over the last several years. Have you rethought the way you think about what's happening here?
Not really. I mean,
okay. So this is interesting. So when people make predictions and they get those predictions wrong, they should be called out on what they misinterpreted. And this is a humility thing too. I mean, I've made a bunch of predictions over the years. If I get a prediction wrong, then it is incumbent upon me not to be caught out or cornered, but to say, gee, what did I get wrong? What did I, in what way was my model incorrect, right? And when people are wrong and don't admit it, they're either vainglorious or there's some weird legal reason why they can't sort of admit fault or whatever, right? So I can't tell you how much my respect for people falls when I see them being wrong about something and then not saying, well, you know, I still don't believe in crypto, but here's what I got wrong. Here's what I misunderstood. Here's, you know, blah, 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 right? But no. Okay.
And people talk about Bitcoin being a cryptocurrency like the other ones, but they're not really currencies.
Ah, okay, so they're not really currencies. So then the question is, it's a fine question. The question then, if you say X does not fit into this conceptual category, right? A tree is not an animal. A rock is not a cloud. Okay. Bitcoin is not a currency. Well, then you need to define what a currency is. And the general way, I don't know what this guy does, but in general, is that a hair transplant? That's a suspicious hairline. Anyway, so what people do is they say, well, Bitcoin's not a currency, you see. Why? Why is Bitcoin not a currency? Because, you see, a currency is that mandated by the government that's in common use. That's what a currency is. which is like saying, well, education is government education. Roads are government roads. And currency is that dictated by the government, required to pay your taxes, that is in common use. It's like, well, of course it's in common use. It's mandated. It's mandated. Ah! So anyway, let's see what he has to say.
They're not a unit of account. They're not a scalable means of payment. They're not a stable store of value.
Stable store of value. They're not a stable store of value. So the fact that Bitcoin has gone up 99.9% against gold over the last decade or so, the fact that it's accumulated over the last 5 to 6 years, 99% increase in value versus real estate, means it's unstable. Oh, my God. As opposed to the dollar losing 98% of its value since, over the last century or so. Apparently, that's stable, you see. A currency, a fiat currency, government decreed, a fiat currency that is used to fund war, that is used to leverage debt against the next generation and create hundreds of trillions of dollars, hundreds of trillions, not billions, trillions of dollars of unfunded liabilities, that is stable. But a currency that increases in value is not stable. So I want you to think of two guys, Bob and Doug. Now, Bob, over the last 10 years, has lost 50% of his health. Hit points gone from 20 to 10. He's down 50% of lung volume. He's lost one lung, like what, one kidney? He's lost 50% of his health over the last 10 years. Now, I want you also to look at a healthy baby that was born 10 years ago, who's now 10 years old, right? And in incredibly robust health. Can run like the wind, can do gymnastics and so on, right? So you've got a guy, over the last 10 years, he's lost 50% of his health, and a baby has grown like a wildflower, has grown like the wind, and is incredibly healthy. So if you look at these two from a biological standpoint, which one is more stable? Well, the guy who over 10 years has lost 50% of his health is more, quote, stable than the baby who's grown to the age of 10. Because, I mean, if you want to take it 15 years, that's even better, because then we hit puberty and all of that, right? So 15 years, guy's lost 50% of his health, 15 years. The baby has gone from being born to being 6 feet tall, right? Whereas the height of the guy who's dying hasn't really changed at all. His weight probably hasn't fluctuated enormously. But the baby went from like 8 pounds to 160 pounds. That's wildly unstable. So the dying guy is more stable than the baby who's grown to near adulthood. This stability thing is like, what could you say?
Single numerator. Bitcoin in the past went to 17 down, then to 16. Now it's above 100. You could have another 50% correction.
Yeah, they say this thing correction is... Correction to me is a very suspect word. So, yes, a currency, or let's say a store of value, a technology, an asset, let's say. So an asset that goes against everybody's general mode of thinking, that challenges an entire conception of the way things are, is going to be unstable. Any asset that rises in value quickly is going to have some instability, particularly if it's a giant unknown like Bitcoin, an unknown for most people. To understand the value of Bitcoin, you have to face the horrors of fiat currency and state control of money and interest rates. It's shocking, right? And it alienates, right? You have to pop out of the matrix. It alienates you from the general thinkers and so on, right? So, of course, it's going to be instability. Because people also have to live, right? So when there's a big price uptick in the past, people would sell because they have to live. And part of the reason they have to live is they have to pay their taxes and they have to pay their bills. And generally, that has to be done in fiat currency because it's an early technology. So, it's not correction. A correction is, well, here's the correct price. It went too high. And this is just anti-Austrian economics, which to me is anti-good economics, right? There is no correct price for anything. Price gouging, it's overinflated. It's a correction, which is to say that there is some ideal price for something. There's no ideal price for something, right? How much are you going to pay for a bottle of water when you're not thirsty? Zero. How much will you pay for a bottle of water in the desert when you're about to die? Well, everything you have. So what is the correct price for a bottle of water? Well, there isn't one. This idea that there's some theoretical correct Platonic, it's a Platonic correct price that exists independently of people's needs and preferences and demands. Ugh, anyway, so.
So it's a speculative asset like meme stocks, SPACs and others, highly volatile. Many people are going to it, but you know, take El Salvador. They force everybody to use Bitcoin as legal tender, and less than 1% of all transactions are occurring in Bitcoin. So,
less than 1% of transactions in El Salvador. Now, I don't think in El Salvador you can pay your taxes in Bitcoin, but that would seem to be somewhat important. Because if you have a legal requirement to convert Bitcoin to cash, to fiat for the purpose of paying taxes and so on, I don't exactly know. If the government demands you buy something, then that which competes with that something is going to be more volatile and harder to grow. So,
I don't think it's going to ever become a currency. There's going to be a speculative asset.
One thing the dollar is depreciated against is Bitcoin. And I think this is where I would see some separation between what's happening with meme coins and meme stocks and what is happening with Bitcoin. There seems to be a preference. There are market participants who believe that this is a place to be if you're worried about the depreciation of the US dollar and a fiscal trajectory of the United States of America. Do you see a case for it there?
Okay, so the only way that you can make a case against Bitcoin as a hedge against fiat currency inflation is to say, because here's how the debt's going to be paid off. Here's how the deficit is going to be narrowed. Here's how the unfunded liabilities are going to be funded, right? The only way is you have to say, here's a path forward for, let's say, the US dollar, right? It could be any currency. Here's the path forward. Here's how it's going to be saved, right? Okay. So the only way to save the US dollar or any dollar is instability, right? It's the Ron Paul spearheaded Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Department of Government Efficiency. Really, just genius marketing move. It's just astonishing how good Elon Musk is at these things. So if they want to cut significant portions of U.S. spending, right? There's a whole bunch of mandated things, which is very tough to overturn. But if they want to cut a bunch of spending, only 6% of federal workers come into the office on a regular basis? That's crazy, right? So I have all this real estate, right? So the only way to save the U.S. dollar is through instability, right? The only way to avert a slow decline is instability. You have to disrupt the system, right? You have to disrupt the system. If a plane runs out of power, it can glide for a while, and the only way it's not going to land hard is if something is disrupted, something is changed, something refuels it in midair, right? There's a massive updraft or something. At some point, gravity is going to win out in the long run for sure, right? So, or everyone has to jump out of the plane. So something has to change if there's a slow decline. And that change is going to be, it's going to cause instability in the system, right? So if they cut 10% of government spending, then that's going to cause massive instabilities in the economic system. So the idea that a slow decline is preferable to any instability, you know, if you've got a cancer and that cancer is going to kill you, then you have to take some treatment or some path or some approach that's going to destabilize things. Because a slow decline, anyway, I think you get it.
Not really, because actually...
Sorry, I apologize for that. That was a little rude. I think you get it. What I mean is, I think I'm over-explaining it. Let me sort of be more clear. It's not that you don't get it. I'm over-explaining it. Sorry about that.
And the Fed was essentially rising rates and inflation was higher. Bitcoin was falling like in 22 as there was a stock market correction. And now the stocks are going higher and the Fed is easing and inflation has fallen. Bitcoin is going higher again. So historically, it's not been a hedge against inflation.
So the fact that stocks are going higher does not solve the problem of the U.S. national debt. What can they do?
Actually, it looks like...
You know, even if they taxed 100% of every billionaire's wealth and assets, they could fund the government for like a couple of months. So he's not talking about how the debt is going to be solved. And to me, anyone who's not talking about the national debt has zero credibility in economic matters. They're just telling people to stay on the Titanic, in my view.
Highly correlated positively with stocks, a beta relative to the equity market. So it's not a traditional like hedge like gold that is.
You see, this is, this guy's great. Oh, what can I say? You know, the internet is not the traditional method of delivering messages, which would be the Pony Express or smoke signals, or maybe even the post office, if that's not considered too new and too radical. Oh, my God. This guy's wearing glasses. You know, glasses are not nature's traditional way of having you see. It's like, yeah, okay, I agree. But you're wearing glasses. A lot of newfangled new technology. New stuff is not traditional. New is different from old. What has not been here before was not here before. Bitcoin is radically new. Therefore, it is not traditional. I am very wise.
In periods of time of inflation rising or debasement or worries about the dollarization. So it's something to me, it looks like speculative asset is highly correlated with equity. So it's not a hedge against inflation.
You've had a big move in Bitcoin over the last month.
I'm not talking about this guy in particular, but these sort of smooth-talking financial guys who say blindingly obvious things. Bitcoin is not traditional. That's great. Oh, Steve Harvey. All right.
Keep your damn mouth shut.
This is like how to win in marriage, how to get ahead in marriage.
Just shut up.
That's right.
Don't say nothing. It's best it. Don't say nothing. There ain't no trying to fix. That way you ain't got to fix.
What if you're right?
What?
Okay, so this is a happy wife, happy life stuff. Oh, it's so wretched. Talk about the cucking and emasculation of any male authority. And by authority, I don't mean dominance. I just mean respect, right? This is absolutely appalling. Now, of course, people on the left, in general, want female supremacy because women in general, particularly single women, vote left. And we all need authority. We all need authority. I have my authority. I have reason, philosophy, evidence, feedback from the net. I have my wonderful wife and daughter who help keep me on the straight and narrow. I have my own kind. Like, we all need authority. Otherwise, we're just untrammeled, narcissistic, dominant will. So we all need authority. And one of the reasons why people on the left like stripping male authority is that people will gravitate to an authority. If they don't have a personal authority in their life, then they will gravitate to the government, and the government will become their authority. So we, as a social species, we have socialized our conscience, right? So you've heard this a million times in my call-in shows where someone doesn't know what's going wrong in their life, but an outside eye, it's just easier to see. It's just easier to see. All social creatures socialize essential operations of consciousness. It's why we have eyes in the front of our head, because we're supposed to have people watching our backs, right? So we don't need eyes in the back of our head because we've socialized that. So we use somebody else's eyes and substitute for our own. So if you don't have authority in your life, you will gravitate towards a state authority. And that's why the removal of authority for women, right? And again, I'm not talking about, it seems kind of pathetic and ridiculous. Sorry to hedge this up. I'm not talking about anyone being bossy. I'm just talking about genuine authority. Like, my wife has authority in certain areas of my life. If she says, do it, I do it. Right? She's really good at these things. She cares about me. So she has authority. And there's other areas where I have authority. So yeah, you remove authority, remove male authority from women's life. They gravitate to the state. So he says, how could you possibly be right? You can't be right as a man. Now, Steve Harvey is an incredibly charismatic, charming, funny, and brilliant guy. Like, he's been, I don't know exactly, I think he's been an actor, but certainly he's been a talk show host, and he's very funny at that. He's been a comedian, and he started from nothing. Like, he was living in his car or something, like some couple helped him out early on in his career. So this is a brilliant guy, and confident and witty and so on. And he is saying, but you can't survive almost without bending the knee. And look at this cackling. Right.
What did you say?
What did you say?
What did you write? What did you write? Are you married? That's what you actually said that? What if you write? When? I mean, sometimes. When? What?
Boy, your dumb ass ain't gonna make 15. I can tell you that right now.
So if you contradict a woman, you can't be married to her. Enter the longhouse, enter ye the mystery slave school. This yuck, so funny. Women are always right. Men are stupid. You just shut up and you just bow and you nod and you hand over money and so on. This is part of the shit that's absolutely murdering the birth rate. Like, no man with an ounce of pride or masculinity would ever participate in a conversation like this. Incredibly disrespectful to women. Oh, women are so fragile, they can't handle any contradiction. I can't get my protein. So it is oh my gosh, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. This is also part of, you know, only simps should get married and have kids. Because if this is how you portray marriage, no man with an ounce of pride, masculinity, testosterone, or confidence is going to want to put himself in this situation where he's got to nod and bow and scrape and bend the knee to a woman's narcissistic delusions. It's just to me, it's, I don't know. Maybe he'll call him, he'll talk about his mom. Yeah, women are dying. No one knows. One story. I saw another one where a woman died and no one knew for 2 years. The only reason they ever found out was because of the smell of the decomposing body. Yeah. This, you know, it's a funny thing. This is it's a great quote from Lord of the Rings. "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." I love these charcoal drawings, wizard staff, tall hat, staring out into the wilderness. Oh, ancestral memories. I'm really kind of big on these days because they seem to be coming pretty fast and furious, probably in preparation for the wrenching changes that are coming. Read my novel, The Present. It's really, really important. But to wander the wilderness in pursuit of a virtuous objective, well, I guess that's what I'm doing right now. This is really, really good. This woman.
What happened
really
to men pursuing girls? When was the pivotal moment that a man chose to not go after a girl anymore or put in any effort?
How about when a woman called a man weak for opening her car door? Or the time that men pursued women on dating apps and him saying, "Hey, how are you?" wasn't good enough? How about the pivotal moment when a man is looking out into the open and happens to glance in a woman's direction and somehow he's undressing her with his eyes?
Yeah, so for a lot of men, women want to be attractive and repel men, like young women, right, in general. They want to be attractive enough to draw men to them, but they also want to reject most of the men because they want to sift and go for the highest status male as a whole that they can. And women have also, and this was, you know, Kevin Samuels' God-given work and mission in a way, was to say to women, okay, so if you want the top 5% of men, what do the top 5% of men want and are you providing it? He used to get quite mad at the black women, the black women female community saying, like, "We've told you guys, we want you to be slender. We don't want this fake eyelashes. We don't want all of this fake hair. We don't want any of the stuff and you all keep doing it," right? And so women being told that they are the prize and they don't need to participate, it turns them into kind of entitled monstrous that the man has to do all of these acrobatics for, and in return, they just have to exist, right? I mean, when the women say, "Oh, the reason why you have to pay for the date is I have to spend all this money on makeup," it's like, but I don't, I've never met a man who says that he wants to spend the rest of his life waiting for a woman to put her makeup on, right? I mean, this woman doesn't seem to have much of any makeup on, maybe a bit of eyeshadow, but makeup is not for the men. Makeup, it may be sort of on the filters to attract a man, but a woman in general is putting makeup on because she wants to feel pretty. It's going to increase her confidence, but the man is not dying for the woman to have ridiculous amounts of makeup on. Maybe if he's a more shallow guy and he wants a woman to look good and maybe raises his status, but that's not a guy who's going to settle down or anything like that. So, you know, I just have to look good and work on all of that, and then you have to do everything else. A man will have sex with a woman like that, but he's not going to merge his household and lineage with her because she's going to have to do work, right? I mean, my wife and I are both very hard workers. And the idea that you're just going to buy some ornament who's going to do makeup and consume your capital and not want to have kids, because if she's that looks obsessed, then her looks will be interfered with by kids. So it is a mating display only for sexuality, not for reproduction.
How about the moment when women considered everything the bare minimum and nothing is ever good enough? Or what about the pivotal moment where men have to fix everything in a relationship to make it work and women have to simply exist? Or how about the time there was a study done that said 80% of women find men unattractive, so why would they try anymore? Or the pivotal moment where men can be accused of SA or grape at any given moment by accident just because a woman is pissed off because she was rejected? Or what about the pivotal moment that women have constantly told men that they're so undesirable that they would rather pick a bear over a human being?
Yeah, I mean, supply and demand thing. Women can treat men with contempt, and then men won't approach women. I mean, it's really not that complicated. If women treat men with contempt as a whole, and if that's the general movement, and of course, you know, there are crazy people. I mean, do crazy people dominate the conversation, right? That's the foundational aspect of society, right? Do crazy people dominate the conversation? If crazy people dominate the conversation, then what happens is men look at women. They see sort of crazy extremist man-haters dominating the conversation and other women not saying much, then what men are going to assume is that the crazy extremists speak for women as a whole, right? I mean, that's how society works, right? Now, if crazy extremists say stuff and women sort of rise en masse and say, oh, no, that's not what I believe. That's crazy. Can't believe it. You know, they act against it. Oh, that's fine. Right. So if, you know, Daniel Penny in New York, I think he just had his manslaughter charge removed by the judge. It's not exactly the best outcome. So the fact that a man who worked to protect mostly women and really put himself at risk to protect women in the subway is being charged. Or the fact that women aren't out there protesting, what men perceive, rightly or wrongly, what men perceive is that women agree that men should not protect them. Women agree with Daniel Penny being charged because women don't want men to protect them. Okay, so we listen to that. If a large group does not strongly counter extremist sentiments coming from within that group. In general, outsiders will perceive that there's agreement with those sentiments, right? So if women as a whole say, we don't need men, right? Sorry, if extremists say, we don't need men, and women as a whole don't contradict or counteract that, then men will simply assume that the majority of women agree with that because they're not counter-signaling it, right? So, anyway.
As if men don't have feelings? Or how about the pivotal moment that every single man that ever chased a woman was considered a simp and women simply didn't respect them or want to be with them because they're chasing and they're trying too hard? What about the pivotal moment when the nice guy gets left because he's not toxic enough? Or what about the pivotal moment where men can't even simply be respectful without it being considered creepy or too friendly? Or what about the time that women decided that not even Cheesecake Factory was good enough for a first date? That they didn't want to get to know men for who they are. They wanted to know how much money they made and their status. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound worth chasing.
What happened to men pursuing?
Yeah, good point. Pearl Davis throwing the estrogen bombs in the calm lakes of female avoidance. Why is it hard for women to accept that we don't stay young and hot forever? It's super weird to see women 40 plus trying to prove they still got it. Just take the L. But it's not a loss. I mean, it's not a loss to age. I mean, the loss is to not age, right? But yes, it is. I mean, of course, women want to stay attractive. Men want to stay attractive. But, you know, I was talking about this, like, I remember on a show I did, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 years ago, I showed a picture of my teenage self and a picture of me now, and I'm like, yeah, that's not the same. One of these things is not the same. Of course, the goal is to gain in wisdom and virtue and love and happiness and all of that, which is the compensation for some of the loss of youthful vitality and energy to gain in wisdom and lose in constitution in the D&D way it's a good trade-off. I mean, it's really the only trade-off you get. So, all right, you know, dating. Oh, yeah, I talked about this in the show. Why people bought the blowjob coin is utterly beyond me, but I'm sort of out of this kind of stuff as a whole. I don't know why this woman is oiled like a P. Diddy bidet, but it says, at some point, babes, she says, we have to stop being delusional and recognize that her taste in men is literally disgusting. Like, what do you mean a guy who literally doesn't care if I exist gives me butterflies, but the guy who shows up at my doorstep with flowers gives me the ick? Yeah. Well, liberated from the need to provide, women can choose sexiness and danger over virtue and consistency. So, Zuby, really great guy on X, says, how do the people who disowned their own family members and destroyed their relationships over the jab feel now? Do they even feel? Yeah, I was reading about how the vaccine seems to have some effect on personality structure and so on, right? Because I think it crosses the blood-brain barrier and does all kinds of funky stuff in the upstairs. Yeah, this is tough, man. So what's the plan to make people want to have children again? $4K a month mortgage to get a starter home with both parents working full-time to avoid two cars and bills while daycare costs $1,500 plus a month per child. Neighbors no longer help each other and families live far apart. And even if they're close, everyone is working full-time. Schools get out at 2:30 and corporations want everyone back in the office until 5 every day. One day at an amusement park for four costs $500. Call me crazy, but it just doesn't sound that appealing if I was young again. Well, so you have to stop being the conveyor belts of paid entertainment for your children. We have to go back to basics, which is connection, storytelling. You know, I mean, when I would, we did this, my daughter and I did like 7 years of a story that we sort of participated in and so on. And like we called it role-playing, right? And so if I would say to my daughter, do you want to go to an amusement park or do you want to role-play? She'd be like, role-play. And it was free. Right, it's just, and it was great fun. So you're just gonna have to get minimalist. You just have to. You can't have as much as your parents had. It's just a fact. I mean, if you're gonna compare yourself to the wealthiest generation in human history, who lost control of the state due to vanity and avoidance, then you're just in a losing game, right? You're gonna have to go back to living in an apartment. You're gonna have to go back to eating out less, and you know, I mean, the way that I was raised. So anyway. It's fine. So this is very interesting, right? Because what is the big argument against Bitcoin? Oh my God, what if the entire internet goes down? So the internet has gone orbital, which means that Bitcoin is in space. It's really, really important. So Elon Musk says, even if an entire region or country lost connectivity because of a severe natural disaster, even if all the cell towers are taken out, your phone will still work. So Orange is in orbit. Bitcoin has left this mortal realm and ascended to the heavens, which means that the internet cannot be killed, right? So even if you just have solar chargers, everything goes out. You still got solar chargers for your phone. You can charge it up that way. You can still do Bitcoin. It's massive. Massive. Oh, yeah, the shooter thing. I don't know about that, man. All right, so I think, study finds high blood sugar in healthy adults linked to lower brain activity. Very interesting. High blood sugar may impair brain health even in people without diabetes. So thank you everyone so much for your very kind time, care, and attention. This intergalactically essential conversation would hugely benefit from your support. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. You can join great communities, FDR. URL.com/locals, links are below, or you can go to subscribestar.com/freedomain. I really do appreciate that, my friends. Lots of love. Take care, everyone.